Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, there's a lot of bad news in the world of professional wrestling today, and it's my unfortunate duty to bring it to you, and I will be bringing it to you, but we do have a little bit of good news first. And the good news is this. We're going to change the format of this show a little bit to help with the timeliness of some of the questions and letters that you and emails that you've sent. So what we're going to do is every Friday, the last 10 minutes of this show, we will actually read your emails or your questions that you sent in and try to answer them. We'll get to one or two, hopefully, maybe three, every single Friday. So that way things will stay up to date. We used to do a show like once a month with them, but by the time we compiled them, they were old news and it wasn't working. So we're going to do it this way. So if you would like to send in a question, you can WrestleChat@yahoo.com. You can also send it to our Facebook group, just WrestleChat on Facebook. You can even send it to my personal email, which, of course, is mkasiseit@yahoo.com. Anyway, folks, there's a lot of bad news, unfortunately, in the world of professional wrestling, and I'm going to start with the worst one. The worst one is Big E has said his neck injury is not healing the way they would like it to heal. Now, he had originally said no surgery was going to be required, so he was not going to have to consider any kind of retirement, or it wouldn't be a situation where it would be dangerous for him to get back in the ring, and it would probably heal sooner rather than later. Now he's saying the progress that has that has so far been made is not adequate, and they don't like the way it's healing. And he's trying to avoid this surgery because obviously he knows this, number one, the surgery is going to put him out of action a lot longer. But number two, I can almost guarantee you, much like a lot of other people that came before him and had similar surgeries, the first doctor's recommendation is going to be that you don't wrestle. Now, many people came back and wrestled after that. Sometimes they took a couple of years off, but they did come back. But Big E does not want that. I know Big E does not want that. And while he's staying in good spirits and says, fear not, what will be, I don't think this is good news. So let's hope that the healing process is just a little slower than they figured, and he doesn't really have to go under the knife. Because once that happens, then it's anybody's guess. Now, the good news, if there is any, is that Big E is a strong, obviously powerful guy, and his powers of healing are probably quite high. And there is a strong possibility that it will heal with surgery even enough that he could get back into the ring. However, everyone reacts to these things differently. I mean, you have to look at it from their point of view. If a doctor told you, if you're hit the wrong way, you could be paralyzed, what do you do? Do you say, oh, well, that's okay, I'll take the chance. I don't know what will happen to me if I am, but, what the hell, we'll give it a go. That's very tough to ask somebody to do. People have done it, but, everyone is different. And I got the feeling when Big E said, I don't need the surgery, it was almost like he was saying, this means I can get back to wrestling at a reasonable amount of time, and I don't have to worry about making that decision. Now, it feels like he may have to worry about making that decision. So we wish him the very, very best, but that doesn't necessarily sound great, Mike, and it's not good news to hear.
It really is. And look, they were on their way. It seemed like they were on their way to putting the three of them back together, right? Now with this news, it's up in the end. And look, like you said, there are people that have been that have had this surgery, this stuff. You know, Daniel Bryan is wrestling that way. For hell. Kurt Angle made a big deal of wrestling with a broken freaking neck. Right? You know, so,
yes.
And of course, Paige, she may want to get back in the ring, but they're not allowing her to because they fear that any little hit could do her in, right?
Right.
So,
well, you know, there's a list of people, Benoit, obviously, Kurt Angle actually finished the Olympics with a broken neck, right? And then professional wrestled after. Taz broke his neck. Edge, I don't know if he broke his neck, but so there are people who've done it. I'm not saying that if this doesn't heal and he does need surgery, his career is over. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that you have to make a personal choice because everybody's different. Everybody's body heals different, and also you have to take into consideration the style. Big E style is a power wrestler. Suplexes, body slams, you know, leaps outside the ring. And, you know, that cannonball thing he does. And it's a little different if you're, you know, a ground wrestler or you're not doing moves that's going to put a lot of strain on your or on your neck. But he does do a lot of those moves. He does. So we'll see. It's not good news, Todd, but we're hoping for the best, obviously.
You're absolutely right there, like you said about Big E, and this is not good news at all in the wrestling world. Like you said, everybody heals different with broken necks and everything, and look at Steve Austin, took him a while to recover from a broken neck. Kurt Angle took a while to recover from a broken neck.
Yeah, this is going to be... It's a setback. I hope it's just a minor setback. Now, once again, he didn't say he needs the surgery. He didn't say the doctor said, yes, you have to have it. He said the progress hasn't been as good as they thought, and they are talking about surgery now, as opposed to saying it wasn't really necessary. We'll see. Maybe in the coming weeks, something will change. We can hope for the best. Anyway, the second piece of news, AEW news that isn't good, is that the rumor mill is saying that Yuke's, who's making the AEW Fight Forever game, and Kenny Omega, I guess, who was participating, being a first-time sort of a game developer, helping develop the game, are not on good terms. And the game is not progressing well. And AEW is, from what I hear, there could be a parting of the ways between Yuke's and AEW. If that's the case, everything's scrapped. And the game goes back to the drawing board. And it could be another year or more before you see that game. This, I think, was a vanity project. I don't think a company that's just been in business, when did they start working on this game? When they were in business less than a year? A company that's been in business less than a year should not be worried about a video game. They should have waited, let it build up some anticipation, and when you know you had all your ducks in a row, then you do it. I think you rushed it, and I think it was a vanity project. Oh, we need a game. Everybody has a game. We definitely need one right now. And, listen, these things tend to backfire. So the game right now, as I know it, is still being developed by Yuke's, and it's still being helped along here by Kenny Omega. But from what I hear, this is not going well, and I would expect that you're going to see it either greatly delayed or there's going to be a parting of the ways. So, Mike, maybe a little rushed on AEW's part.
Right, and look, it took, how long did it take the WWE to get a game done, you know? How long did it take, you know, it may have taken WCW, you know, NWO versus WCW, whatever it was, it may have taken them a few years, but it took them a few years, you know? And that it took them more than a few years to get those games done for WCW. So, yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, WCW did go through several different gaming companies before they found the right company to do the game, right? So maybe it's one of these things where the company is giving them the problems, and they're just going to have to find another company, another company to do the game.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I saw some screenshots, and I realize that Kenny Omega is part of the development team or something, but Kenny Omega looked like the Incredible Hulk. I'm looking at the Kenny Omega figure, and I'm saying, okay, well, who decided to make him look like a 375-pound gorilla? It was ridiculously overplayed. I'm looking at it saying it looks nothing like him. The face looks like him, but that's easy. They just do face capture now. But the body was ridiculous. Talk about adding muscle and adding bulk. Holy mackerel. I thought it was a cartoonish game. You ever see those that the WWE puts out and they're all like, you know, and you're like, well, it's not the 2K ones. They have like Wrestling All-Stars and other ones where everybody's like totally beefed up and they're like cartoon characters. That's what it looked like. Now, you got to remember the WWE, even current times, had all kinds of trouble with video games. What happened to 2K20? It was so bad that people were literally, they told people to bring it back to the store to give them their money back. That's how bad the game was. The game was so bad and so filled with errors that the company literally said, bring it back. If you don't like it, bring it back. They give you all your money back. And they didn't even release a game for a whole other year. There was no 2K21. Now, this year they got it right. Very good game. This year they got it right. But, man, the 2K20 was a disaster. And this was with, yeah, they switched companies, but this was with an engine already made. The other developer didn't really change the engine much. These guys are trying to work from the ground up. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, a little bit rushed on AEW. They should have waited for a video game and just, you know, not released everything saying it's coming soon, it's coming soon, it's coming soon. Just tell people we're working on it. We'll see. Because now people are like, oh, well, you said it was coming out. And if they have to pause a year or more, that doesn't look good.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the AEW game. And the company's been in business since 2019 or 2020, and they're already doing developments on a video game. I would have waited for a while. Like WCW did.
Yeah, I think it was a vanity project. Now, Tom in the chat room saying he brought his back. I didn't bring mine back because it was so bad. I said I actually want to have in my collection what will probably go down as one of the worst video games in history. It wasn't even finished. I mean, there were times if you were fighting in a steel cage, you could get on top of the steel cage. You could walk into the audience on air, literally on air. One time I had Roman Reigns in the ring, and Roman Reigns came down to sneak attack him. It was laughably bad. It was so bad, it was actually pretty good, where you're actually like, I'm actually having fun. with how bad this game is. So that's why I kept mine. But is it playable? Nah, it's not playable. It's terrible. It's fun for a laugh if you and your friends want to get together and just goof around, but wow. Yeah, if you're serious about your wrestling. Although, again, this new one is fantastic. I do recommend it. Anyway, more bad news for AEW. Remember, I think it was Sunday's show, I explained to everybody that the business of wrestling, it's a little weird, and you can't survive on, you know, $40 million TV deal, which is basically what AEW has. Well, you know, some people wrote me and said, you're anti-AEW, that's a great deal. Okay, well, that's a great deal. That's such a great deal that I found out that the $40 million that they get for TV pays the salary of 12 of their wrestlers. 12. How many wrestlers do they have? So their TV deal is totally paying just the salary of one dozen of their wrestlers. That's not a successful business. If you have a business and your yearly, I know it's not their complete income, but a great part of your yearly income just pays for a portion of your employees, are you doing well? That's why Tony Khan was set to ask for probably double. He's not going to get it now. Because we have already been told that Time Warner is not going to open up their purse strings. As a matter of fact, they're cutting costs. So Tony Khan's not going to get that. He may have to find a different network. He really may. And if he is a good businessman, he is right now looking to see if he can move his product, because they're not going to give him much of a raise. And if your current TV deal, what do you think the WWE's current TV deal? Do you think it doesn't pay every single one of their wrestlers' salaries three times over? It does. It absolutely does. So that's the difference. You're in a situation here, if you're AEW, where you've overspent because you have deep, you know, pockets. But you have to understand, folks, I'm not downing anything that AEW does. I got some AEW things to talk about here in a minute that are very positive. But I will tell you this, you can't survive this way. And you can't sit there and say, oh, we're very close to taking over WWE's numbers. No, you're not. You're not even close. Folks, they held an NFL draft. Tony Khan's father owns a team. And who did they get? They got The Miz. They got The Miz to do some of the work for them. And another WWE superstar, I forget, was it Titus, to do some of the announcing and things. Did they get Tony Khan's guys? No. So you got to calm down. Samoa Joe released a statement that I think is fairly accurate, and he said, this is ridiculous. We can't survive this way. Just watch what you like and enjoy what you like, and don't worry about who in the world is outdoing this one or who in the world's outdoing that one. Well, that advice he gave was to the fans, but he should give it to Tony Khan, because it's Tony Khan who spurred this. The fans did not organically say, we are going to form two different groups, AEW and WWE fans. That didn't happen. That wasn't an organic thing that happened. Tony Khan spurred that on, and the WWE gets a zero responsibility for that because they never did it. They never struck back. They never made fun of AEW or said it's this or said it's that, never did that. It was always Tony Khan who did it. And now that you've isolated your fan base, just like I said you would, and you can't get yourself out of those 800,000 to 900,000, and in the other show, I mean, their ratings were so bad this week. It, you know, and I think NXT beat them. Not good. If they didn't beat them, they're damn close. Virtually the same numbers. It's not good ratings, folks. It's not good ratings. So AEW, 3 years in, has now got to rethink things a little bit. Let's not spend a zillion dollars on a video game that's never coming out. Let's not have a guy who's never, ever, ever, ever done any kind of video game designing go over and bug Uke to the point where Uke says, look, I'm not going to work with this guy. Or, oh, we're having trouble with, you know, with this guy because he wants this and that and he doesn't understand what he's talking about. How would you like it if somebody – how about – would you like it if Ukes came into your wrestling federation and told you how to wrestle? You'd say, what the hell are you doing? You don't know what you're doing. Or when have you ever been in the ring? Okay, well, when have you developed a game? Everybody's got to calm down. Just wrestle. This week we saw the former Big Cass, W. Morrissey, make his debut, sort of. I guess he's not AEW because he's Impact. But make a debut on the show anyway and looked fantastic. From what I'm hearing, WWE was very, very, very impressed with his performance. And this is a real success story if he works his way back to WWE or even if he goes to AEW, because this is a guy who was persona non grata. He had a major alcohol problem, from what I'm told. There were some behavioral issues backstage based upon that alcohol. If you remember, it was him and Carmella who were dating, and he had some major issues with her backstage and fights and things were not good. Things were not good. And there's a guy who got his life back together. He's in the greatest shape of his life. I don't know if you've seen him walk down to the ring. I was like, holy cow. Look at this guy. He's fantastic. Yeah, it was Derek in the chat room saying Gable Steveson. That's who it was. Gable Steveson and The Miz. Were there any AEW guys there? I missed them. Tony Khan's dad on the team. Where the hell was their wrestlers? Anyway, Morrissey looked fantastic, Mike. And, you know, that's a big success story if he makes his way into AEW's top echelon or WWE hires him back.
You know, I'll put it to you this way. He has the look that Vince likes. He's a big guy, you know, 7-footer, and he's ripped. You know, Vince likes that look, you know. Now, I don't know what this, I don't know what the status of his contract is. You know, I don't know if it's a long-term deal or they're trying to pay some of these guys, you know, like him on a per basis. But I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. I will say within 8 months, he's going to be back in the WWE.
If he continues, and by the way, he put on a really good match. Now, there were a lot of people. I heard a lot of people online saying, oh, I don't think he should have been finished off with just one maneuver like that. That was really disrespectful. I don't think so. He took like 90% of the match. Wardlow gave him – see, Wardlow understood, I'm finishing you off with the one maneuver, and that's to keep that maneuver looking strong. But to compensate for that, he gave him like 90% of the match. So I don't think that's a big problem. I just don't. I think that's nitpicking. I was fine with it. I thought it came out fantastic. Both guys look good. I think it came out fine. It'll be interesting to see if Morrissey does find his way back to the WWE, if Enzo is around. And they have any interest in him. I know people don't like him for whatever reason, but listen, you can't argue with the fact that he could get that crowd worked up. Because he certainly could. So anyway, we'll see what ends up happening with Morrissey. But yeah, Todd, he looked fantastic, I thought. I was really impressed.
Well, absolutely right there, like you said. With Morrissey, formerly known as Big Cass, he looks in tremendous shape and looks like he lost some weight too, and looks like he was more healthier to wrestle as well the other night.
Yeah, he really did. Now, I know that, you know, again, we mentioned Enzo. Everybody here likes Enzo, but I know a lot of the wrestlers don't. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not kidding. I know Enzo had some behavioral issues. He brought people backstage that shouldn't be back there. I get it. He's a little excited. He's in the big league. He's a star. It went to his head a little bit. But I think a good deal of the trouble with Enzo, people looked at him and said, he doesn't bust his ass in the ring. He doesn't know a million moves. He's not in the ring all the time working on his skills. He thinks he can just get over on the mic, and he was right. See, that's aggravating. That's like a concert pianist saying, oh, I only sold 500 tickets to my show. In the meantime, some dude who just pounds on a piano and knows very little about the actual piano itself is selling out Madison Square Garden. That should not be. Well, folks, it's not always about who has the most talent. It's about who interests the people. And Enzo was a very interesting character. I don't care whether it was heel or face. The one thing Enzo had, and you can say whatever you want, you can call me any name you want, you will not change my mind that Enzo had charisma. Because I've seen it myself. I'm not blind. And when I see 1,500 people chanting Enzo so loud he can't talk on a mic, and he's supposed to be the heel, and I was there live when it happened. So ain't nobody can tell me, oh, they doctored the sound or they did. No, no, I was sitting there. People went nuts. They lost their goddamn mind. Todd was there. I turned to Todd and actually said, what, Hulk Hogan in the back? Am I missing a Hulk Hogan entrance? That's what it sounded like in that arena that night. I'm sorry, but to quote somebody very smart, you can't teach that. That's something you either have or you do not have. And the people who do not have it tend to be jealous of the people who do. That's all I'll say about that. So, the ratings. Yeah, look. This is not good for AEW because when the new people take over, they are going to take a look at 400,000 viewers and say, you want how much for your show? That's getting 400,000 views? There's going to be a little bit of drama here because Tony Khan obviously needs more money. Maybe he even deserves more money. Maybe on a better network he'd draw over $1 million. I don't know. But what I do know is you can't have your entire TV deal feeding 12 wrestlers when you have 65 on your roster, if not more. That just doesn't work. There's no mathematics where that works. That means you're losing money. I don't care how they fudge the books to say, we've actually made money. No, you haven't. It's not possible. I go out all the time. I don't see anybody with AEW t-shirts on. I don't see I walk into Walmarts and things now, and the AEW figures are peg warmers. I don't see them selling. They are, the first wave did. You couldn't find the first wave. People ran right out and bought them because they thought, oh, it's the first, you know, ever AEW figures. That'll be worth something someday. But now the collectors are like, hey, who cares? Now, there was a controversial statement made that I'm going to get everybody's opinion on. Becky Lynch said, and she didn't say it in character, she said it out of character. She said, I have a lot of close friends in AEW women, one of them being Ruby Riott, Ruby Soho. And she's an excellent wrestler, and I wish her all the best in the world. But you cannot compare the women's division of AEW with the women's division of the WWE because there is no comparison, talent-wise or otherwise. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, well, you know, let me think about that. And I compared the rosters. And listen, you can be an AEW fan up the gazoot. She's right. Name me one person over there that's better than Charlotte Flair. Not Britt Baker. She's not better than Charlotte Flair. Is Thunder Rosa better than Charlotte Flair? No. Those are your two big ones, right? Neither one of them are better than Charlotte Flair. Are either one of them better than Asuka? No. You could argue that maybe, you know, one of them is as good as Becky Lynch, but charisma-wise and draw-wise and T-shirt selling-wise and stuff, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Is any of them better than Bianca Belair? No. So I think she's right. I think she's right. And I think that while you can say the women's division is still in its infancy in AEW, and three years is an infancy, but I don't think they've progressed all that much in 3 years. I'm looking at them 3 years later saying your women's division is not that much better than it ever was. You bring in people now and then, but we don't see them on a regular basis. We see one or two of them on a regular basis. Now, we just saw the other night a feature match between Mercedes Martinez, it was, and I'm trying to think of the other girl, oh, Deonna Purrazzo, and, I mean, the fans were dead because they don't even know who they are. Deonna Purrazzo, how many TV matches did she have, and she's the main event? Deonna Purrazzo. I've seen her live. She's very good, but, I mean, you haven't promoted her, so how is she the main event, Mike? These things matter. Have we got Mike there? Hello, Mike. No, we don't. Todd, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, so what do you think of this statement by Becky Lynch?
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about some of these wrestlers, female athletes in AEW she's friends with. And, you know, like you said, the women's division AEW and the WWE women's division are two different things, technically.
Yeah, I don't think. Listen, is Britt Baker probably the best they've got there? Well, arguably. I like Thunder Rosa, too. But, yeah, she probably is the best as far as interviews and charisma and all that kind of stuff. But, folks, she's not Charlotte Flair. I'm sorry. You can hate Charlotte Flair all you want. She's not Charlotte Flair. It just isn't. Athletically, professionally, she's just not. Not yet. Maybe she will be. But not yet. So, Mike, what do you think? Becky Lynch makes that statement. True or false?
Absolutely true. And think about this. The TNT champion, that lady, she's very athletic and stuff, you know, and all that stuff. I'd like to see her in the WWE. She's really young, but I'd like to see her in the WWE. And think about this. Even I'll take it even one step further. Think about this. Carmella and Naomi, you know, they're better.
Yeah. You know, I would say this. That's a good point. I would say that somebody like Carmella and Naomi are real close to what the AEW would consider their top people. They're comparable. But then when you get above that level and you start to get to Asuka and Charlotte and Becky and obviously Bianca Belair, I'm sorry. You're leaving them in the dust. I'm sorry. Ruby Riott's a good wrestler, very, very good wrestler, but she's not that caliber yet. Maybe she'll rise to that caliber. I'm not saying any of these people won't rise to that caliber because they might. Right now, they're not. Now, out of those, probably the overall least better, if there's such a thing, is Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch, who said it, she's no Charlotte Flair either, and she's no Asuka, and she's no Bianca Belair athletically. But she is much more charismatic than a Charlotte Flair. She's probably more charismatic than Asuka, even unless they use Asuka in the way she really is, then Asuka's very charismatic, and she's probably a little more charismatic than Bianca Belair. So, yes, she has that. She may not have that athleticism of them girls, but she has, like, the charisma and a draw power, a merchandising, power. So she has that. And I think we could run down the line, and say some people who really aren't even used. Nikki Cross is very underutilized. And Alexa Bliss is the top merchandise seller out of the women wrestlers. So, yeah, I think Becky Lynch is correct. And she didn't say it out of hatred. She didn't say it to be a wise guy. She didn't say, oh, they can't touch us. That's not what she meant. She just said, look, if you compare the divisions fairly, there's some very good wrestlers in AEW, women wrestlers, but they're not at this level. And I think she's correct. Now, on the other hand, in AEW, the writers, if there are any, or the people who are controlling the production of these matches are at a different level than the WWE, because the WWE can't do it to save their life anymore. Maybe they don't even want to. I've speculated before the WWE wants 5 and 6 minute matches just to introduce you to the characters because they're more character-based than actual performance-based. That's why I say go get Enzo. If you're more character-based than performance-based, what are you waiting for? Enzo's your man. But either way, if you're looking for a great wrestling match, not that the WWE don't have great athletes, I'd put the WWE's roster easily up against AEW, and I think they match up very, very, very well. You're not going to tell me that Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles and, all of these guys aren't equal to who you got over there. They certainly are. They're not going to be used that way because that's not what they signed up for. I mean, if you gave Chad Gable 20 minutes in AEW, you'd probably be like, oh, my God, can you believe how great he is? Yeah, because he is. He's never going to be used that way in WWE. They don't care. They want Chad Gable, who's saying, don't boo education, and shush. That's what they want. So, two different things. There was a word that I believe Aleister Black had, Malachi Black, whichever, had indicated that someone had been in a car accident. I was trying to look to see who it was, but apparently an AEW wrestler was in a serious car accident. Said he's going to be 6-8 months out. So that's horrible news, obviously. There's nothing but horrible news today, folks. Nothing but horrible news. The good news, I guess, is that AEW sold out their pay-per-view event that they're doing relatively quickly. But we knew that was going to happen, Mike, because, someone said something very interesting on a thread I was watching. And I told him, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This guy said, you know what the deal is with AEW? It's one of those things that's better if you're there live. The way they produce their shows and the way they do their wrestling, if you're there live, it's really, really cool and awesome. And if you're watching it at home, it's like, it's okay. And I said, that's a very interesting point. They don't have the production value of WWE. They don't have the announced team and the whole, they don't have that whole package yet. And I think he's right. I think it translates better to like a live event when you're there. Did you ever watch a concert and you're like, well, you watched it on YouTube or something. You're like, it's okay. And then when you were there live, you're like, oh, that's fantastic. Because it's a different experience. I've been to WWE shows where I said, it's just as good at home. Maybe it's better at home where I can just relax and sit back and watch it. AEW to me seems, I think he's right. It seems like a better live experience, Mike.
Yeah, it seems like that. And I haven't been able to get to the live experience. I don't know if I can because I've got other things going on in my life, but and I'll have to settle for that, the I don't want to say lesser, but you know, because of things that are going on, I'll have to settle for that. But, again, yeah, you're right. It seems like, I mean, I've seen there was a one time when Garth Brooks did a concert in Central Park, right? And I watched it on TV at the time. But apparently, like you said, it was much better to be in Central Park than to watch it on TV. Because that's how good a performer live.
Yeah, there's certain events that just that way. And I think he's right. AEW comes off, they got a little work on their production to do. But again, that they are, as far as production-wise is concerned, they really are in their infancy. It takes sometimes the 3 years or more to really get the idea of how you want to present your TV show. Speaking of which, we may have a new federation pretty soon. Freddie Prinze Jr. has said he is starting a wrestling federation. And this is very interesting. He has said it's going to be a very character-based wrestling federation, more along the lines of what he grew up watching than what's happening today. Storyline-based, character-based, and he's currently scouting locations. Now, this is a guy who, he's not Tony Khan. He doesn't have Tony Khan's money. And he sure as hell don't have Vince McMahon's money either. But he has money, and he certainly has connections. And a lot of his connections would probably be more Hollywood than sports-related. And he was a writer for the WWE. I'm very interested in this. I'm very interested in this. Because despite the fact that I wasn't the biggest fan of Freddie Prinze writing for the WWE, Freddie Prinze Jr., he seems to say that a lot of his ideas were either shot down or morphed into something that really wasn't his idea, and that he wants to show people his real vision of what wrestling should be, much, I guess, like the guy with the Smashing Pumpkins. I'm interested in this. I have to tell you. I don't know who he's going to get. This remains to be seen. You know, he can't get utter nobodies. And I don't know if he's got the money to hire people. You've got AEW and WWE, both able to spend a lot of money if they want to. And I don't know if he can outdo that. So I think he's going to have to get the people who are sort of left over, and I don't know if that's going to be good enough. We'll see. He's going to have a name or two, right? Speaking of a name or two, the one person I don't think he's going to get is Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's contract got revealed, I guess, and he was making close to $4 million a year. $4 million. They said he was one of the two or three highest paid in the WWE, period. $4 million a year, and he says to come back he wants more. He says to come back, it would have to be a really, really, really good contract. And his asking price is really high. This is why Tony Khan's not jumping at this. This guy might be asking $5, $6 million a year at this point. Tony Khan's not jumping on that. Not for a guy whose main worth to a company is his gimmick and his, you know, all out of the ring activity. Tony Khan's more based on what you can do in the ring. Tony Khan's likely more to give more money to a guy like a Will Ospreay than he would a Bray Wyatt. But the WWE just might. They just might. But that's a lot of money. Mike, I had no idea he was making that kind of money. I thought he was in the middle of the pack. But according to this new revelation, he was one of the very highest paid in the WWE at the time of his departure.
And think about this. Who's probably high, one of the few that was higher than them was who? Brock.
Well, Brock was there,
right?
For sure. And
yeah.
Then I would imagine Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And probably Randy Orton.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And you're right. Now, for him, I don't think if it's the WWE, he's gonna ask for things probably that they may not want to give him, like more creative control, not being shot down when he gives ideas, not having his things pulled out from under him, as they're going on, stuff like that. Or are they going to be willing to give him that plus the money? I mean, that it might not be a case of the money for him to come back to the WWE. It may be a case of what, like I said, the creative control. And you're right. If what's his name? If Freddie Prinze Jr. is doing the best, is wanting to do more character based stuff like he grew up with, well, hell, who's still out there that's really a character? Enzo. And he could get, get Enzo.
He could definitely get Enzo. And that would be my first pick. If I had to pick people who didn't want $4 million, my first pick would be Enzo. That would be my first pick. Simply because I know he's popular. And simply because I know he can draw. So anyway, let's get to some of the questions that were a little more timely. Going to a question, Steve from Binghamton said, is it true that the WWE always planned to have this six-man match at WrestleMania Backlash? Yeah, that's what I found out. Now, we had speculated that it was a last-minute decision. We had speculated that, well, they looked around and said, we don't have anybody for Roman Reigns. We don't want to do Drew McIntyre just yet solo. So, we'll do it now and set up the feud for later. That's what we thought. It's worse than we thought. They always plan to do this. So while they were telling you, buy your tickets, you're going to see the unification of the tag team titles, they knew you weren't. Let that sink in for a minute. This apparently was the plan from the very beginning. That's unconscionable. That's not swerving the fans. That's ripping you off. Now, the WWE is fully aware of this, and fans are pissed. And I'm hearing that they may do the unification afterwards at some other pay-per-view or something. But wow, we gave them the benefit of the doubt. We said, well, maybe they looked around and said, well, we're going to have Roman and Drew, and then said, you know what, let's not do Roman and Drew yet. We'll save that because what do we do afterwards? Let's just interject him. But no, that was not the case, Steve. You're absolutely correct. It was, in fact, the plan to begin with, and that is worse than what we had originally thought, Mike. So, again, WWE just baits and switches their fans.
Yeah, and it's like I've been saying, we've been saying about Tony Khan for a while. If Tony Khan would just shut his mouth, all right, yeah, make you stupid announcements and stuff like that and try to come every week and make a big announcement. But if he would just shut his mouth and not say anything about the WWE is self-destructing right before our eyes. Now, you're not going to see it in the ratings, but we can see it. We don't have to see it in the ratings. We can see it watching it on TV,
You're right. It is very self-destructive. And you're also right about the ratings. I mean, I really think the WWE could say, we are putting on a match between Adam Pearce and the cameraman, and it would still go 1-5. And people are just used to tuning into WWE, and some people are just like, well, that's what I do. It's almost like a zombie. I turn into WWE. Very few people turn away from them. They've kind of hit their rock bottom. They've kind of hit their bottom where this is like about as low as they're going to get. But I want people to remember something. We talked about it first, and now I hear a very famous show talking about this, and I said to myself, Jesus Christ, we've talked about it a month ago. Where have you guys been? Disco Inferno and Conan on their broadcast is saying, you know, the wrestling business isn't as popular as it used to be. The wrestling business has lost half their fans. No shit. That's what I've said for months and months and months. While we're hearing from all these wrestlers, it's never been a better time. It's never been a better time to do what? You have more places to work, but not that many people are watching you. It's like saying, well, 100 more concert venues opened up, but there are only 15 people showing up to each one of them. But I got more places to work. Well, but less eyes are on you. The wrestling business has lost 50% of their fans. Let that sink in. 50% of their fans. How about if they lose 50% of their fans again? What are we going to go down to now? 500,000 is a pretty good number. And pretty soon you're going to end up midnight on Channel 9 again. It's not a good time for the wrestling business, folks. It's the exact opposite. It's sink or swim here. All the wrestlers love it because they've got a couple of places they can go. It's not just WWE or the Indies anymore, right? Now they have Impact and they have AEW, and AEW's offshoot of Ring of Honor, and they can, there's places they can work in the States. But they've still lost half their fan base, folks. Anyway, next question. Brian from Queens said, what happened to Tessa Blanchard? Well, Tessa Blanchard's working for WOW, Women of Wrestling. But what I heard is she had a major falling out again. Something happened backstage, and she may not be working for them very much longer. I don't know what the girl's problem, the woman's problem is. I can't say girl anymore. I can say guy, and nobody cares. If I say girl, people lose their minds. I don't know what the woman's problem is. She can't seem to get along with anybody. She seems to have a major chip on her shoulder for someone who's working for WOW. Because you could have been working for the WWE or AEW in a heartbeat. So she's self-destructing. I don't think you're going to see her in WWE or AEW anytime soon. Maybe Impact, but then she left Impact under bad terms. So I probably not even Impact. She's kind of persona non grata, and that's a shame. Because she's actually a pretty good performer. This has gotten so bad, though, that one source literally said, if you're a Tessa Blanchard fan, you better learn to speak Spanish. Which basically means the only people who are going to hire her are in Mexico. That's not good. That's not good at all, Mike. So it's a shame because she is quite a talent in the women's divisions of any company she works for.
Right. And frankly, I don't even see, the NWA, signing her. And look, I don't even think it was this bad for her dad. We know her dad has some bad attitude, we know that. We know Tully Blanchard had his detractors in any locker room he was in. He had his detractors. It was never this bad with even her dad,
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what her problem is. I don't know why people dislike her. I've heard all kinds of horror stories about her. I don't know what to tell you. It's a shame because she is one of, you talk about elite women's wrestlers, but she is one of them. I don't care what she says. I don't care what kind of an attitude she has. Strip all that away. She is. An elite talent. And it's a damn shame that she can't get her act together. Otherwise, I think she'd be sitting on top of the world right now. I mean, can you imagine a Tessa Blanchard Britt Baker feud? Can you imagine a Tessa Blanchard Charlotte Flair feud? Really nice. Instead, we're getting her in WOW. So this goes to show you where her attitude got her. Big shame, Todd, because she does have a lot to offer.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Tessa Blanchard and everything. like you said, when she was in Impact Wrestling, she had an attitude with other female wrestlers, and she potentially hurt, I think, was one of the luchador female wrestlers in, from AAA or something. I don't remember what the name
was. Well, that
was
the Sexy Star that did that. Sexy Star actually broke, or tried to break Rosemary's arm. So yeah, but look, there are, and where's Sexy Star now? There's people, not even in Mexico, they won't hire her. A lot of places. You can't burn your bridges behind you. You can't do this. Because if you do, this is where you end up. Anyway, that's the last question we'll take, because we really don't have a lot of time to get into any of these other ones. So let me just say this before we close for today. I'm friends with a lot of indie wrestlers. And recently I had a bad experience because I had an indie wrestler who I don't know that well, but certainly is someone I've seen and I've went to their shows, say the following. If you disagree with me about an issue, and I won't even mention the issue because it's not a political show, but if you disagree with me about an issue that's currently before us, where 50% of Americans actually are divided 50-50 on, if you disagree with me on it, I hate you. I hate you to the very core. And, oh boy, all the indie wrestlers, like. I want to address this. You're trying to make a living by amassing a fan base. I don't know of any fans who is going to willingly give you money if you say you hate them. If you openly say, I despise you because of what you believe. Can you imagine if somebody came out and said, I despise you if you're Irish, I despise you if you're Jewish, I despise you if you're short, I despise you if you're fat? You'd be thrown out of the business. You'd be thrown right out of the business. Yeah, it's okay to say I despise you if you don't think exactly what I think on a subject. And you think that's going to increase your fan base, or do you think that's going to cut your fan base down? Because I know I would never give my money to someone who openly on a social media platform tells me they hate me for what I believe. That's insulting me. You have to be a special kind of stupid to cut your own throat in this business. And I know you think everybody in this business agrees with you, but you're very, very wrong. And even if everybody backstage agrees with you, not every fan does. This is not for you to do. You have the right to your own belief. You have the right to broadcast your own belief. You have the right to say, this is what I believe, and I believe it strongly, and nobody will change my mind. But if you don't believe it, I respect your opinion. I don't agree. That's what you do. When you tell half your fan base, I hate you, they're not giving you the money. They're not buying you T-shirts. They're not coming to your events. And I got news. Some of these guys, you're lucky you get 150 people to your events. Now, what do you want, 70? 60? Pretty soon it'll be down to family and friends. Mike, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my life, and it's infecting the indies lately.
Right, and then think about this. When Zeb Coulter and what's his name were doing the whole Real American gimmick, and they were probably half the crowd that showed up at any given show for the WWE at the time that probably agreed with those two guys, right? And the fact of the matter is they didn't say a word about it. They just let it ride to the point of, well, I don't want to say they marked out Glenn Beck, but basically that's what happened. He bought into it so much that he ended up commenting it on his show, which made Zeb step out of character and have to say some things. But that's the way things should work. You should let the crowd decide whether or not they agree with whatever you're saying or whatever. You know, you don't get. Your job is to play a character. Now, if this character...
Yes, you have the right to your own beliefs, but and you have the right to speak them loudly, but you do not have the right to tell people you hate them for theirs, because that's the very definition of racism. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll see you on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.